Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order, the Town of Board of Directors, Town of Discovery Bay. Would you stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, can you call roll, please?
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Steele.
He's running a couple minutes late.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Thank you. It's now time for public comments. During public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter, and any clarifying questions will go through the board. You have 3 minutes. I think you're going to be first.
Thank you. My name is Bob Lyman. I'm here just to acknowledge the fact that you guys finished the pickleball courts, or almost a couple little tiny things that need to be done. There was an outstanding job, and the staff did a good job, and I'm here as their representative of the club to say thank you much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob.
Any other public comments? With that, I will close public comments. Before we go any further, we want to take a moment. This has been a sad week for the Board of Directors for the Town of Discovery Bay. We had a death of one of our directors, past presidents, Director Ray Tatrell. At this time, I would like to ask for a moment of silence for Ray. Thank you very much. We have presentations. We have Contra Costa Library. Rick, would you expand on that?
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. Liz Fuller from the Brentwood branch of the Discovery Bay Library of the Contra Costa County Library System is here to give the board a presentation on their efforts and outreach to try to encourage more people to use the different libraries located throughout the county.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you to the Board of Directors and General Manager Howard for giving me this opportunity to speak to you tonight. I'm here to let you know about the Contra Costa County Library's efforts to update its strategic plan. I've left you with a summary of the old plan. It's drafted in 2006, and just to give you an idea of what we went through in 2006 and updates we tried to do. We've accomplished a lot of them and feel like it's time to add some more changes with all the technology that's changed. Our needs and goals have changed as well. So part of this refresher of updating our strategic plan is now at the stage of getting community input. So we had an online survey on our website and asked everyone in the county to fill that out. So we've done that part. We got about 4,500 responses. The next step was to interview people in the community. So I've interviewed several people in Brentwood and Discovery Bay. And the last step is to have a town hall meeting in each community. So the key informant interviews, I've almost finished them, and several of them were done with people in this room. And I'm very thankful for their time. It was a really instructive process for me. I've been at Brentwood for about 2.5 years and haven't ventured out into Discovery Bay very much. So it's been a really good experience for me to get to know the community and people in the community and what your needs might be, what your goals might be for the library, how we can partner a little bit better. So that's been a really good experience. I can see more opportunities for collaborating with the town of Discovery Bay, whether or not there's an official building here. I can see partnerships, whether it's working with the schools more, offering a book club, offering to teach people how to download ebooks from the library's catalog for free, just coming to some of your community meetings and letting you know what we've got going on, just to make that connection stronger. And then that third piece of having a town hall meeting, Discovery Bay's is scheduled for Monday, August 19th at the Discovery Bay Elementary Gym at 6:30. It'll be 90 minutes, and we're gonna ask three questions. What community priority should the library play a more active role in? What one thing could the library do better? And what's the single most important contribution the library makes to our community today? So I'm here to encourage you all to attend, and I forgot my little bookmarks that have the schedule for the town hall, so I wrote it on top of your draft survey from 2006. So I hope you can attend, and it's been in the press quite a bit, so if you need any more information about it, I'm happy to answer some questions.
Are there any questions from the board?
How has the library overall been impacted by the internet and the fact that people can download so much more information at home than they used to go to research, even reading books, but especially in the research department? How has that impacted your attendance or the need or the value of actually having a brick and mortar building?
Well, our role has changed. We used to answer a lot more reference questions, and I'd say that's gone down a lot because people are doing that at home. But we're getting a lot of people at our programs, so we're becoming more of a community center kind of environment in the library. So they may not be coming to ask what's the population of whatever. They come in, what's a good book to read? Do you have a book club? What are some kids programs? So it's more of a connection with the community than the traditional, you know, where's the encyclopedia kind of thing.
Thank you.
The other question I would ask is whether kids are using. I know when we went to school and we had tests, we had research, we did it in the library and did our homework. I know kids have all got laptops, and, mm-hmm. but I'm curious how many, do you get kids in the library team, whether it's actually?
Oh yes, definitely. And a lot of teachers still recommend that they come in and actually take a physical book home. So and a lot of entertainment reading, a lot of chapter books, popular kids series, those were just as busy as we ever were. And we do have ebooks as well, and the circulation of those is high, just as it is for the physical books. So it seems like all this, the ebook and the technology, just has made everything more popular. Not that it's lessening to anyone.
Any questions?
Yeah. How about from a computer standpoint? I know that some families, for whatever reason, don't have a computer at home and things. Do you find a backlog, or is there any need for additional computers, or about right, or?
Well, we have 14 public computers that have internet access, and after school, it's really hard to find one available. But other than that, we get a pretty good flow. It seems to be a pretty fair number for us, so they get used a lot, and we're a lot more flexible now. It used to be a limit of an hour a day, and now if they want more time and they're available, we're pretty flexible about just letting them stay.
Thank you.
No, I know Liz.
She was one of my key informants.
Let me ask the public, is there any comments from the public? You're getting off easy tonight.
Okay.
Liz, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Hope to see you on the 19th.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to area agency reports. AJ, are you here?
Yes.
Sheriff's Department?
What year? Does it matter?
Do you recall the years?
From my understanding, from looking at the internet and researching a little bit, it's pretty much 90 miles an hour.
I haven't driven my Durango for a while. I've got to go check it and see if it's still
smooth. So it's all the ones that are being hit are all the newer ones, and we had a repeat customer too, one that had it replaced.
Wow.
So again, Dodge, I don't know about Toyota, but I know Dodge made some aftermarket bolt-on, weld-on things, about $200. Keep the catalytic converter in place, so it's otherwise just four bolts, undo them, the thing comes right off. So I don't know how Toyotas are set up, but that's
same thing.
So still having a problem there. The other thing, building off of that, we've had some witnesses see things, but and again, I admire the sense of neighborliness, but instead of checking on your neighbor first, call us first, then go check on your neighbor. Because in every single one of these cases, and a couple of the theft cases, the regular theft cases, they go, they check their neighbor, how's everything going, everything's fine, let's look at the other neighbor's houses, see if anybody else was hit, then they call us. And, you know, even if we're 2 minutes away, that 10 or 15 minute delay in calling us, person's long gone. So at that point, it's just that we're just taking a report. If you call us first, and we, you know, we're close by, we have a chance of at least, if the car's trying to flee, we may pass it, be able to turn around and pull it over, at least keep an eye out for it as we're coming into the area. If we have multiple cars in the area, we can sort of set up a perimeter, but after, you know, when there's a 10 or 15 minute delay, that's all just a waste of time at that point. So please, letting everybody know, call us first, then go do all your checking, at least then we're on the way to respond to the problem, whether it's catalytic converters or any kind of other theft or problem. The other thing of note, the property crimes, we had some petty theft from vehicles, petty theft from buildings, three residential burglaries. All of those resulted from things being left unlocked. Homes were unlocked, cars were unlocked. So again, first of all, for the cars, take your valuables inside, don't leave them in your cars. The scenario I always give people when they call and say, I can't believe I was a victim, and they tell me, you know, my laptop was taken, I think it was one of these cases, I ask them, well, would you leave 10 $100 bills sitting on the front seat of your car and walk away with your car unlocked? And they go, that's crazy, who would do that? And then, well, then at what point did it seem a good idea to leave a $1,000 laptop sitting on the front seat of your car? And it makes people stop and think, like, okay, because they don't equate their property to the dollar amount they're not going to have to spend to replace it. So take your stuff inside, don't leave it in the car, and then make sure you lock your cars, lock your homes. If you've got alarms, use them. We had a couple where we had alarms, and people just didn't turn them on. So again, what's the point then? Save the money, take the alarm out, cancel the service if you're not going to use it. If you've got it, use it. Let us know. It helps us. The only other thing, one of those residential burglaries, the suspects are, well, actually one of the residential burglaries and one of the thefts, I hate to use the word, but we know the suspects, they're family friends, their family knows who they are. So again, reduces the crime rate a little in the sense that it doesn't pose a greater threat to the community. It's just people picking on each other because they know each other. They think they're owed something. Instead of working it out, they just take it. So, that is about all I have from the stats.
Lots of arrests, warrant arrests.
Yes. We've had some of those, just warrants that came out. People didn't show up to court. There were a couple that, there was one I think it wasn't ours that we assisted in. And the other ones were just warrants. People didn't show up to court, didn't handle their legal business. And so we found them. We're going to make them handle their legal business now.
What's my name? Any questions before?
You're on the south side of town.
I got to move to a better end of town. Any questions?
No.
Any questions from the audience? AJ, thank you very much.
Thank you.
One of those reports is one of our own, Dina's boat was broken into and shows up on the report.
Did you leave your laptop on the seat of the boat?
I did not, but they took my whole computer out of the boat.
Ah, thank you, AJ. I see we have multiple highway patrolmen tonight.
I'm Eric Brew with the Highway Patrol. I brought Officer Donnie Thomas with me tonight. He works out here all the time, and he wanted to come out to the meeting and see what it was like, so I brought him with me. He writes the majority of the citations and CHP issues out here, so I brought him with me today. The stats for last month were pretty light out here, which is good. We had one DUI arrest, and we had one traffic collision. The traffic collision was on Newport Drive, and it was speed-related. We work Newport pretty regularly, and so today he and I worked out there, and we wrote 16 speeding tickets and impounded one car. The last ticket we wrote right before we came here was for 56 miles an hour. And the person lives here in Discovery Bay. So, in fact, I think every single person lives here in Discovery Bay that we work with. So, it's like I've said in the past, it's always the people that live here.
Newport and Clipper are probably the biggest, just because they're just straight shots. Is that
where? Sure, yeah. I would agree with that.
And it's a house all in one, typically on one side of the street, so somehow you get the perception that it's not as dangerous or something.
Well, I can't say what's going through people's minds,
right.
But they live here. They know it's a residential area, and they know the speed limit is 25.
I've followed people, they start out at 25, 28 miles around, they just keep increasing as you're going. It's a long street, and they just keep going faster and faster.
Sure.
They're doing 50 by the time they get down to the other end of it.
Last month, the CHP wrote over 100 citations here in Discovery Bay. I stopped counting after that, so I wrote, between myself and Donnie, we wrote the majority of the tickets.
One DUI is a nice step down. We only had one DUI?
Only one. It was at the intersection of Newport and Bixler, but it was a resident of Discovery Bay, and it was out of a traffic stop. School's back in session out here, and our senior volunteers are making their rounds. They do every school that we have in the county, so I'm guessing that would put them out here maybe twice a month. And they're going to be assisting the crossing guards, and they'll have that black and white out here as a visual presence. Our radar trailer is fixed, and it's up and running. And the rumor is that the county may be buying us a second radar trailer, which means it will be out here a lot more often.
Good.
So they'll be towing it around, and they'll leave it out for the entire day, and then take it back. So we got lots of things happening, and everything looks good.
Any questions of the board? Marianne? Bill?
Questions?
Any questions from the audience? Thank you very much.
We'll see you next month.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Remember our faces up here.
Yeah, we never speed. All right, let's move on to Fire District. We have no one here from Fire?
I don't see Jeff.
No, we don't. And East Coast, okay. How about Supervisor Pifo? Karen, I saw you back there.
Don't really have a lot for you tonight, but I did want to let you know of a couple things. First, I know you took the moment for Ray. Did want to let you know that Supervisor Pifo and the Board of Supervisors will be adjourning in his memory at next Tuesday's meeting. I believe it's August 13th. So they will adjourn in his memory at their meeting. And then you may have seen it. We're almost at the end of it. But this week, the Public Works Department is doing some chip seal and road pavement repairs in the Byron and Brentwood area. So just be aware of that. You may hit some delays and drive slowly because you don't want that rock throwing up on your windows. And I will leave this, it's one of Liz's flyers. I'll leave it in the back. Don't forget the town hall on August 19th. And that is it.
That's it?
That is it.
Thank you.
Any questions? Any questions?
Oh, and a welcome to your newest director.
Ah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Mr. Steele? Can you change the roll call?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay, do we have any committee reports tonight? Trans plan, county planning, code enforcement, or special districts? I don't think we do. All right, let's get past that. Consent calendar. If there's nothing being pulled, can I get a motion, please?
I have one question on the consent.
Okay.
This is on the approval for the security cameras. How many bids did we receive for those?
It's a proprietary system. It's the company that provides the equipment for us. We've been using them for quite some time. So in order for the equipment to work with replacing the server, the equipment that we already have in place and the network we have in place, it's the same company.
Okay. Why don't we do this if we can discuss it? Let's pull it and then we'll the consent calendar, then we go back to it. So let's pull consent calendar item 4, and can I get an emotion?
Move approval, consent calendar.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Yeah.
Any questions? Discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, let's go back to item 4, consent calendar. How much is this upgrade?
The upgrade's total. This is a replacement of the server. The server's been in place for, I believe, 8 years, and it is no longer being supported by the manufacturer, the vendor, and the software is out of date as well. So as part of this year's budget, we have $35,000 included in the current fiscal year budget to upgrade our video surveillance system. As you recall, in the past, we've shown you pictures that are very grainy and haven't really been very helpful, and part of that's because a lot of the system is analog. So what we're looking to do right now is to upgrade the server and then determine based upon the quality of the cameras we have and the color cameras versus the black and white cameras. The cameras are actually very inexpensive today, today's environment, but the server and the process to make the system operate effectively is about a $12,000 upgrade. And that is a complete replacement, and the proposal is attached.
Rick, let me ask you this. So we don't do this piecemeal like we've done before. If we're going to replace the server, and then we're going to see if it works with our cameras, and then we're going to see what the picture looks like, why don't we have the company that's going to do this come out and give us an all-in-one shot of this is what it's going to take?
What we thought would be the best approach to do this would be to, because we have a lot of cameras and we want to test different types of cameras. So we want to be able to see which cameras work best on the system, which ones have the best clarity, the best resolution, whether we're going to go ahead and put in cameras that rotate the view, if you will, versus a standard straight view. We're going to have some of those and some of the rotating cameras. So we felt it would be best to put the backbone of the system in place first, and then it gives us the opportunity at that point to go in and test the equipment that's going to come in on the back end.
But won't a company that's selling us this equipment tell us this is what goes with this and this is what will work for your application?
Well, there's different applications that you can use. There's different types of cameras. You can go to super high-end camera, high-def cameras.
No, I understand that.
Versus very low-end, low-quality. We want to try
that now.
Right, but what we're trying to facilitate and trying to accommodate is is an opportunity to be able to take the new server that will support the new equipment and determine which cameras work best for our needs. One camera might work good for this need, and a different one might work best for this. It might not be all the same exact cameras.
Is it the same server?
It's all on the same server, correct. The servers are required, people. We need to replace the server, regardless.
I guess for me, what I don't want to see happen is that we put the server in, and then over the next 4 or 5 months, another huge bill comes in to start replacing the cameras.
Well, we know that that's going to be happening. We have $35,000 budgeted for this project over the course of this year. It's a budgeted item. It's a big project that we know we need to improve, and this is the first step in getting there. Future parts of this will be coming to you. Depending on the costs, obviously. So this is a planned project that we've been working on for the better part of a year, and this is the first phase of that project.
I think we're just having two different discussions. I mean, I know that you can bring a company in that does this for a living and tell them this is our issue, this is our current server, these are our current cameras. What is it going to cost to replace it? So you can come to the board and say, look, this is what we're going to spend.
We brought AMS in. They evaluated our equipment, they evaluated our servers, they evaluated the software. The software is no longer supported.
Correct, we
cannot continue with the system we have. If we get any glitches, they can't fix it. The server is out of date. It's approximately 8 or 9 years old. So the intent was to go ahead and get the server in place, and then we could test out the different types of the cameras that the vendor has for us to utilize that would be the best for that specific application, whether it's shining down on a gate, whether it's a nighttime, or whether the view is necessary for improved lighting at night, whether it's a rotating view camera, the different types. So as opposed to going in and buying a big system and then finding out that this camera doesn't work properly for this environment, that's what we're trying to avoid. We want to be able to get the cameras that are right for us once we get the backbone of the system in, and then go ahead and move the cameras in from there.
I don't think, because we're going around a circle here. I don't have a problem with that, Rick. That's not my issue. My issue is if the guy who's selling you this camera system or is going to say bit by bit, they can give you an idea. I'm just curious whether we're going to be within the 35 grand or not, or whether we're going to get under the 35 grand and go, okay, now we need another 15,000. I know that the company who's doing this can tell you this is the cameras we recommend for the system. If you want a camera that looks perfectly still, that's this camera. They can tell you how much those cameras cost and how much to install. That's my question. How many cameras and how much?
I mean, we haven't done a complete requirements analysis of what we need.
Virgil was working on this project, and I don't know the answer to that.
I'd like to pull this off we'll have to take a decision from the board. But I mean, I'd like to know what we're going to spend here before we do this.
Well, let me ask you this, Rick. Where did the budget number come from? Did that come from an analysis by AMS that came out and said it's going to cost that, or was that just an arbitrary number?
The budget number that was derived was based upon the replacing the server, replacing some of the fiber, the backbone system that's going in, as well as new cameras. And so the $35,000, this is just the first part of the
project. No, I understand that. I'm just saying, I mean, if you're telling me you have a $35,000 budget, and I understand what Mark's concern is, but you must have gotten that number from a qualified contractor, or I would hope that you would have gotten that number from a qualified vendor that said, this is the budget number you should be using when you go to your board.
We were discussing this with Herwood Engineering with respect to the cameras, because they put these types of systems in different facilities in their applications different locations. And so Herwood Engineering was recommending different types of cameras for us to test out and utilize. But before we can go there, the backbone, the server had to be replaced before we can hook up those cameras, because they won't work on our existing system.
But how much are the cameras they're recommending? That's a good question I can't get answered here. How many cameras and how much are the cameras?
The cameras are in the hundreds of dollars each.
How many cameras?
I don't know the number of cameras.
Shouldn't we know the number of cameras?
There aren't that many cameras. I don't know the exact number.
Then my next question is, why did we budget $35,000 and only a couple hundred bucks for the cameras?
Well, because this is for the wastewater side right now, and we're also going to be doing the water side. This is just to take care of the wastewater facilities, and then the water facilities will be coming back at a later date. It's a fairly large project. It's a fairly large infrastructure project.
Sailing past the $35,000 mark, and to me, I'd like to see an appraisal. I'd like to see an estimate of hard numbers before I vote on it.
Well, the reason I brought it up, if I understand it properly, we're going to get a new server and we're going to get new software. So whatever the supplier, AMF or whatever they are, why can't we go out and get three bids from three of those kinds of companies and kind of see where we are? Because it sounds to me like there's nothing left of the old system that we need to keep if we're changing everything.
We can do that.
That would be a great idea.
I know it's more difficult for staff, but I think in the long run, because it is going to be it's a capital improvement item and it's got to last us into the future, I think it'd be well worth the time to make it happen.
Okay, so let's take item 4 and get more information and bring it back. Unless anybody has an objection to that. I don't.
I agree.
I'll second.
Is that a motion?
No, it's just guidance to the
staff. It's just guidance at this point. I'm going to pull it off the consent calendar and we'll bring it back before we have a complete estimate. I'd like to see a complete estimate for the entire job.
Mr. President, before we move on, I believe your name is Sandy?
Katie,
I apologize.
That's okay.
Katie's from Delta Valley Athletic Club, and some of you may, I was expecting somebody here during the presentation of the agenda, and she stepped in a few minutes late.
Okay.
Delta Valley is in the process of putting together a fun run and a bike ride from Delta Valley Athletic Club to the Delta Valley Athletic Club facility here on the 18th of August. As well as having a run around the lake. They call it a color run that starts out at Delta Valley here and then goes around the lake and ends up there. And Katie is here to provide the board with some information on that. So if it's appropriate to do so, that would be your call.
Let's reopen the presentations. We're through with consent calendar. We'll reopen the, I'm sorry, well, yeah, it would be presentations. This one here.
Oh, right over here? Okay. Hello, I'm Katie. I'm just helping coordinate the bike and color run for Delta Valley Athletic Club.
You face us. Yeah, you face us.
Okay.
I'll just
add
the podium.
Okay. Then you're recorded.
Okay, sorry. Put it over here.
Okay. There you go.
Sorry about that. So it should be a lot of fun. It's going to be Discovery Day and Brentwood's very first bike and color run. It starts in the parking lot of the Brentwood Delta Valley Athletic Club. People will be biking from there to our brand new Discovery Bay location out here, right around the corner. From there, they'll transition to the run, which will be around Willow Lake. So bikes will all be parked over in our parking lot over there. And we'll have some fun vendors at both locations. The run will be around Willow Lake.
It's a 5K, and the color will be at the end, so it is a color run. It's a lot of fun. And then the biking will then continue back from our location at the Discovery Bay Club and go back to Brentwood. So it's 24K for the bike and then 5K for the run. And people can choose to do either or, but it should be a very fun event. And it will be this town's very first one.
What's the date on that?
It is August 18th. It's a Sunday. And it starts at, we have a competitive start and a fun run. So kids, family, everybody is welcome. Starts at 7 and 7:30. The competitive is 7 and fun runs at 7:30.
Do you have flyers and forth right there?
Yes, I have a bunch to leave here for you guys.
So we put right on the back table. You give one up to us, I think.
Okay.
We'll put the rest on the table.
Yes.
Any questions?
Yeah, you sparked my curiosity. What is the color part?
So your shirt will end up something like this at the end. So once the bikes are parked and everybody finishes up the run, I'm not sure if you've seen a color on before, but we will have volunteers that will be splashing color on you. It's kind of like a powdered sugar color, cornstarch. I always say it comes out really easily as people are always...
Well, it's sort of like...
Yeah, it's going to be like that. Okay. So, yeah, just to add a little more fun to it. But the color runs and other cities have been very successful, so it's exciting that we're going to have our very first one here in town.
Any questions?
And then the website's on the flyer, www.bikeandcolorrun.com. All of the route and everything will be on there. Any questions people have, you can always direct them to that.
What time do you think the run will start in Discovery Bay Park?
Yeah, people will be, I mean, everybody will be coming in at different times on bikes, but I would say around, yeah, around that time, 8:30 or so, or maybe even 8, yeah. Fast people will be there earlier than that.
Sure.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll leave some in the back for you.
That'll be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rick, to go back to the consent calendar for a second, item 4.
Yes.
Can you, when we get bids for the system, can you have that presentation for the board, have the person bidding this present to the board? So we can talk about security systems, cameras. Is that possible? You look very happy.
It's highly unordinary. You usually make a recommendation of one, and then you bring that recommendation to the board.
Is a facility, is a wastewater subcommittee going to be involved with this?
I might have a suggestion, being that Virgil's tasked with this project. Maybe he could just come to our next meeting and give us an outline of the background of how many, where the cameras are. I don't know. Thought it would be nice. But then that would give us an orientation of the size of the project, why it's needed, et cetera, the 10-minute something he could give us. And then staff could go ahead and go out and solicit bids and make recommendations.
Or just bring in the winning bidder that you want to give the job to. And let us ask him if we have questions. What I want to do at this point is I'd like to know that when we get this bid, it's done and finished. And 3 months or 4 months down the road, it's like, okay, now we have to look at this, now we have to look at that. This doesn't work, and this doesn't go with that. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's why I'd like to have the information prior to have the guy that won the bid tell us all about it. I think we're a little late. So if we could have staff maybe give us an update. I would prefer staff to just give us a broad view of here's how many cameras we have, here's the systems, here's the security issues, et cetera, and now we're up to speed, and then staff can go get the bids and figure out who is the best vendor for that project.
Okay, so now we can move on. Item G, public hearing, to consider the following. Item 1, Town of Discovery Bay, Ravenswood Landscape Zone 9, Park Lighting and Open Space Improvements, District Assessments, Report for the Fiscal Year 2013-14, Continued Collection of Assessments on County Tax Roll and Adoption of Resolution Number 2013-15.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item has been before you on May the 1st, June the 19th, and most recently on July the 16th. This subject matter. This is an annual item that comes before you with respect to the Ravenswood development, DB Landscaping Lighting Zone 9. The board approved the resolution 2013-08, which directed Herwood to prepare the 2013 assessment report. In order to collect and levy the annual assessment, the board must approve and adopt the resolution 2013-15. and also approve the filing of the attached notice of exemption for the CEQA requirements. If the board has any questions, we're certainly here to answer them. One last thing I wanted to mention is that we did include at Director Peace's request the difference from current year rates to the future rates, which is an increase of $8.18 over from this current year over the past year. And Farron Perez is here to answer any questions if you have any on this item.
I just have a comment. I appreciate that because it makes it very easy to explain to the community that, well, your rate is going up by $8 for the full year. I think it's much more palatable that way. Thank you.
Mary Ann, any questions? Comments?
No.
Kevin?
No.
Chris? Public comment?
Mr. President, technically you will open up the public hearing now.
Oh, okay.
Allow people to comment, and then when it's over, you will close the public hearing, bring it back for discussion and action. So
at this time, I will open public hearing. Are there any comments?
Sorry.
If there are no comments, I will close public hearing and now go back to the board. And there were no comments from the board? Okay, at this point, you need a motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Okay, item 2. Town of Discovery Bay proposed combined rate increase pertaining to water wastewater services for fiscal year 2013 or 14 through fiscal year 2016-17 and approval and adoption of resolution 2013-14 establishing charges for water wastewater service and continuing collection of water and wastewater service charges on county tax roll. Now, before we do anything, we need to open public comment again for this, or do we have comment first?
What you do in this is you have staff give their report. You then, as board members, ask questions. Then you open the public hearing. In this particular instance, the members of the public have the opportunity to submit written objections. My suggestion to you is that right before you close the public hearing, you invite them to submit the written objections and inform them that at the close of the public hearing, writ objections will no longer be accepted on this item.
Thanks. Thank you. Okay, Rick.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you this evening is a 4-year water and wastewater rate study commencing on July 1st, 2013 and ending on June 30th, 2017. As you know, the board approved a contract with Bartlewells Associates earlier in the year to conduct a 4-year rate study pursuant to Proposition 218. Each time that the rates are increased beyond the existing maximum Prop 218 approved rate, a rate study and a public hearing must take place. That's what we're doing this evening. In the Bartlewells Associates proposal, they recommend a blended rate increase, water and wastewater combined, of 2.7% for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2013 and ending June 30, 2014, and 4% for each subsequent year through fiscal 16-17. The 4% is a maximum. Each year the board can determine whether or not the 4% needs to be that the rate needs to be adjusted to 4% or something lower. If it's at something higher, we would need to do another rate study and conduct another Prop 218 hearing. Towards the bottom of the page, on page 31 of 100 of the agenda packet, there's a table that shows the average, the 5,000 to 10,000 square foot parcel in Discovery Bay, how it affects those parcels over the 4-year period, assuming the 4% rate increase in the final 3 years was adjusted to the full 4%. Pursuant to Prop 218, we didn't send notices to every property owner in Discovery Bay. There were over 5,635 notices that were mailed out. A notice is attached as a copy of the report. And we received 9 qualifying letters of protest of the 5,635 notices that were mailed. The rate study the Bartlewells provided for us is attached, as well as the rate study, or the rate study is attached, as well as the public notice and the rate schedule. And there's also a copy of the rate increase chart that shows what the difference is from current year over the next 4 years for each group, of properties in Discovery Bay. And so what we're looking for tonight eventually would be the adoption of Resolution 2013-14, approving that four-year water and wastewater rate study. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer.
Any questions from the board?
One last thing, the resolution that's included in the packet has been revised, and there's a revised copy on your desk, and there's copies in the back of the room that show some minor non-substantive changes, just to clarify some things, some items that were in the resolution.
Chris, any questions?
No, thanks.
So Rick, when it says here that pursuant to Prop 218 approved by voters, and in each year the district finds to increase utility rates above the existing maximum Proposition 218 approved rate, what is that rate? Who establishes that approved Proposition 218 rate?
You approve that on effective with the last rate study.
Okay, and okay, so
you
by
mean,
doing this
you,
for four
you,
years,
you mean
we don't
the
have we, the next 4 years. We have a maximum 4% built into it, and it does no longer require a public hearing for the next 4 years. Is that correct?
As long as you don't go over,
as long as you don't go over that 4%.
Marianne?
And when I said you, I want to clarify, I meant the board of directors, not you directly.
I understand, but I will pay my fair share on the issue.
I just have one question, and that's based on the resolution, is this going to change from being on your taxes to being a monthly bill that's mailed?
No, it will continue the same way that it has been in the past. Those homeowners that are metered will continue to be metered and billed monthly. Those homeowners that are unmetered will continue to receive the charges as they currently are on their property tax bill.
Okay. I only asked that because this was highlighted in yellow with the monthlies.
I wanted to clarify that there are that metered users are billed monthly, and that non-metered users are charged on the county tax roll, which would be the next whereas down.
Okay. Thank you.
Bill?
Not at this time, thank you.
So just kind of open public hearing. And we have a question or comment. Mr. Lennon.
Good evening. My name is David Lennon. I'm with Poplin Land Development. We submitted a letter earlier today, which really outlines all the objections that we have to the fee in the purpose of coming further than that. Just want to make a point that we'd like to continue to work with staff and the board to work on some of the other issues beyond the fee study and the rate setting items, such as the content of the report, we're guessing to the number of units that are being developed and the pace of development, so we can true those up with what's actually going to happen here. And of course, take your action on the rate information. We know that needs to move along. We have concern primarily about the vacant lot fee, but obviously we know that the fees need to increase and that we need to be able to provide the services to the community and authority to come and answer the questions.
Can I address one of his comments, if I may?
Sure.
David, just so you, the difference in the number of units versus what we show in there is because it fell off on the fifth year. So if it was a five-year rate study, those units would have been on there.
We think we'll be done in 4 or 5 years, so that's the pace and the number of units.
Any questions?
Yeah, a question. In the letter, you talk about the standby charges at $400 a year, and your legal staff feeling is that they're not in legal compliance. Is that something you care to comment about this time? Or?
Yeah, that's been something that we've brought up over the course of several years. That fee in the past was, it just hasn't been developed of why it is a $400 fee.
Okay.
And also there is the, you know, the concept of a standby fee. There's issues related to that. You know, is there capacity there for some of the things that are coming on? And then again, where did this come from? The $400 fee was a blanket fee that lie across everybody in Discovery Bay going back a number of years. And for that number was just held on to and applied to every lot that had a tax bill, and then it became just every lot that had service to it. And then this year, it was broken into two pieces, and a portion of that fee is a water fee this year, and a portion of the fee is a sewer fee. But that's the first time we've seen that. But still, it's $400.
So you'd like us to clarify how and why we got to that number?
Right.
Any other questions from the public? Well, you've got a question right here. Oh, or comment, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Well, not in regard to him, this is another question.
Sure.
Ethel Brody. Our question is, what is the timeline for getting the community onto water meters, and could the rate increase be coordinated with going onto the water meters instead of just increase?
The meters are scheduled to go in 2024, the rest of Discovery Bay.
To clarify that, the meters aren't scheduled to go in at any particular time. They're mandated to be in by 2024. When they go in, I'm sorry, I just wanted to clarify that.
He's correct. They're by the year 2024, so until that item comes up, there's no way that we can.
So it could not be tied in?
It'd be hard to do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, before I close the hearing, this is the last chance for written objections, and after the hearing is closed, there will be no more objections. Any written objections?
No.
At this time, I will close the public hearing. Are there any other comments from the board?
Yeah, I have a question in relationship to the presenter. What has there been a discussion? I'm trying to come up to speed, but I'm not on those committees.
Since this is involved in litigation, this would be more appropriate to discuss in closed session.
There's an ongoing lawsuit over this right now.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look at the letter, Mr. Lennon does point out that a lawsuit was filed this last fall, I believe, and this is the subject matter of that litigation, or the topic and the issues that they raise are the subject matter of that litigation.
All right. Any other comments? If not, can I get a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
5-0. Okay. Thank you. New business. Okay. We're going to appoint, we're going to fill the spots that are open. We're going to appoint new district representatives. And I think at this time, I know that we have multiple people looking at multiple committees. So what I'd like to do is see if we can do this, where we can compromise here. And if there's a committee that there are two couple of committees, maybe one can take the other, so we can work this out where it comes out. And they Rick, do you have this in a written copy of this of the committees? I know Bill's got
I just have it on my iPad. The committees that were vacated by
I could make copies of this.
Could you please?
Yep.
Okay, I'll get a copy. I've got it on my computer, but it's so much easier to lay it right here when we're marking it up. I can't mark your computer.
The two regional committee appointments are the Contra Costa Special Districts Association and the P6 Police Services Committee. And the board subcommittee are the budget subcommittee, which would be the budget subcommittee, the landscaping subcommittee, as well as the public financing authority subcommittee and the water and wastewater subcommittee.
If I may, Mr. President, just as a reminder, the items under the board subcommittee appointments, these are actually committees of the general manager. When she has requested the board identify representatives from the board that he can consult from time to time. I just wanted to make sure that was clear to all of you and on the record.
And also, those aren't, there's no alternate primary and secondary in those particular committees. It's just two committee members that consult the staff, correct?
Right.
Okay. Because they kind of fall underneath that. You look at the form, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Okay, so we have Special District Association, we have vacant. We have Finance Authority vacant. We have Water and Wastewater vacant. We have one more, don't we?
Budget.
Police Services are vacant. What's budget?
Next, next.
Oh, bunch right here, so I'll just say, yeah. Okay, they can hear. Okay, so let us do this. First of all, let's see who wants to be where. And we, like I said, if we get to a point where there's two people that want, there's two committees and there's two people that want both of them, let's see if we can work out what somebody takes one, somebody takes the other, rather than make this into an issue it doesn't have to be.
Well, I'd like to start. I would like to go on to the Special Districts Association.
Is there anybody else that wants that? That was easy.
And I would be willing to remove myself from the county code enforcement if someone else would like that.
Well, I think
okay, I would like to go on to the Police Service Committee.
Anybody else wants it? Okay, there was an excellent wish on the Police Service Committee.
Thank you. I'm on the LAFCO liaison. I'd be happy to let someone else take that if they'd like that.
Or
do you want to keep?
Let's fill the ones we got right at the moment. All right. So you've taken two of them. We got the budget subcommittee.
I would like to be on that.
Anybody else want to be on the budget subcommittee?
I would like to be on the budget subcommittee.
Okay. Let you guys discuss this between you and you guys decide which one of you wants it. Nobody else wants it. And whoever you guys decide on. So I don't have to make a decision. Otherwise, I'll make it.
Thank you. Well, I'm only on one committee.
Well, you're on three now.
One, two, three, four.
Well.
Park and Rec.
Yeah, Mark.
I'd be happy to go off Park and Rec.
Take Park and Rec.
Okay.
I'd rather have Park and Rec.
Okay.
Good. Down that way.
Marianne and I have discussed that, and we're happy with myself going on the budget committee, and then Marianne will replace me on the Park and Rec. And I would like to go
on. Let me give somebody else a shot here. I just put you on three committees, so hold on a second.
Okay.
I need to make this start. Okay, wait a minute. You're coming off of Park and Recreation. Marianne's going on there?
Yes.
Okay, now. We have Landscape Committee. We need anybody for Landscape?
I'd like to be a part of that.
Any objections?
No.
So are we, okay, we're filled up down to, we're just to the last two now?
We're Public Finance Authority.
We're on budget.
Budget was Marianne.
I was staying
on
budget.
Yeah, Bill's on budget.
And then Marianne went on to the Landscape.
No, Parks and Rec.
I mean, Parks and Recreation.
Replaced Bill on Parks and Rec.
Okay. Public Finance Authority. I'm going to move to the primary on that.
There is no primary and secondary on that, on the bottom half of this thing. It's a sequel.
That's you.
Well, that's what
it is. It doesn't matter what column you're in on that end of the thing. If nobody else wants it, I'll sit on that. I'm not sure where is there going to be much action with that?
We will actually be happy. We have to have an annual meeting, and it will be taking place within the next month.
Right, you want to go on it?
I'll go on it. No, I mean, I'll take it. If no one else stood up for it, I'll fill the vacancy.
Okay. That leaves water, wastewater.
And I'm interested on being in that.
Yeah, I'd like to also add in on that instead of that for more.
All right, so what do we got here?
Well, just go on the one that's underneath here. Under the board committee.
I'm sure you see this on once. Chris is only one. Chris is only two. Chris is only three. You're on the Regional Transportation Agencies.
Well, I'd be happy to get off.
Well, it's not about getting
Chris
off,
but
I count who's on what. I'm trying to make this fair. Just put you on one, two. You guys work this out amongst the three, or do I think it's a decision?
Yeah, I've been working on the board for a long time, overseeing the water and wastewater projects, and the automation part of it is something I want to follow up on. And I got a good relationship with Veolia, and I think I can serve well to oversee that and communicate with the staff and our board here. So,
can you live with that? I think you know the four. Let me put them on this committee.
Well, I mean, hang on a second. The That would put you on four.
Put you on four also.
Four subcommittees of the board.
Well, I'm looking at who's serving this subcommittee, so I'm looking at it. You're on.
No, you can take my communications subcommittee if you'd like.
I'm not interested in that, so
this is only for the rest of this year anyway.
That's fine.
Yeah, all right. Chris, I'm going to put you on here. And this is, you got seniority at this point. I'm going to put you on. Okay.
Did you really get you on? Good job, Mr. President. Well done.
That's not facetious.
No, it was genuine. Trust me.
Well, who took the landscaping?
Landscaping was Chris. He took the two and you took the other two. You took police services, special districts. You went on the budget committee. You went on these three. On the budget committee, you went on these three.
Did you want to change on the LAFCO? Bill, do you want me to be primary on that? I'd be happy to be primary if you'd like.
That's fine.
Yep.
Yes?
Okay, so switch the two of those. Okay, we all in agreement?
Mr. President, if I may, just to make sure, Carol?
I have
him. We have him, so can we just run down the list real quick? Left-hand column, Contra Costa Special Districts will be Director Pease in the vacant spot. LAFCO liaison, though Director Pease and Director Steele will swap places. P6 will be in the vacant spot, will be Director Pease. Budget subcommittee in the vacant spot will be Director Pease. Landscaping subcommittee, the vacant spot will be Director Steele. Park and Recreation subcommittee will be Director Wiesen. On the first one there, so that would also be with Director Graves. Mm-hmm. Public Financing Authority Subcommittee would be Director Graves and Director Simon, and Water Wastewater would be Director Steele and Director Graves.
Okay. Mr. President, you will need a motion to confirm your appointment.
Can I get that motion, please? Well, we need to ask for discussion. There's no discussion. Is there any discussion? No. Okay, can I get a motion?
Move the appointments as announced by the manager.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Well done, guys. Well done.
Okay, that was peaceful. Nobody had to die. All right, let's move to President's Report, Director's Comments. Let's start with Marianne. Any Director's Comments?
Not tonight, thank you.
Thank you. Bill?
None this evening.
Chris?
Yes. On July 18th, I attended the Byron Union School District meeting. There's new staff. We've got new superintendents and some new principals and vice principals. They're working on making all the schools more consistent and streamlining their process to be more efficient. One of the things that was made me a little nervous is that, in a couple of years from now, they're going to be running into a deficit. And so it's unfortunate states very slow on paying the money that's owed. So just to be a heads up, they're working very efficiently and lean, and we need to maintain that as well. So
we were talking about the last school last time, that presentation about the vice principal.
Yeah. Lean and mean.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Kevin?
No, I would just echo the sentiments of Director Simon in that I attended Ray's memorial service on Monday and heard some great stories from his family. Got a fantastic family. I didn't realize the great people he had in his family. And so I would just want to recognize that the community lost somebody that had a true heart for what went on out here.
I'll echo those sentiments. I was there also. It was enlightening to hear some of the background that you don't necessarily know about your fellow director. You had quite the picture. Sad day.
Yeah. Well, it was a great celebration of life.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. If there's nothing else, let's move on to General Manager.
It's nice to be back in Discovery Bay.
Oh, you're going?
Yes, I'm relaxed. What I wanted to let you know is that, as Bob Lyman mentioned, the pickleball courts were completed. They had their tournament. It was successful. We're finishing up a couple punch list items on that up there. If you haven't seen it or noticed already, the greenhouses are being erected down at the wastewater treatment plant. The first structure, the steel building itself, is in the process of going up at this point in time. So that's good news. The influent pump station project started this week, so that's starting to move, and there's a lot of action going on in that area. What I want to be able to do, and I know that's on the, it'll be on the committee updates here in a minute, but some of the information that I wanted to get the board and the public regarding the numbers for the pool and the users and that sort of thing, I'll be getting that to you by Friday, by the end of the week. I don't have those numbers quite yet.
That's it?
Yeah,
point of my knowledge, I'm assuming that if we've doubled the size of the greenhouses, that we've now doubled the amount of sludge, if that's the right word, that we can process. Is that a correct assumption, or is it if you use one and then use the other?
No, we were deficient in our ability to process the sludge, so we didn't have the capability, the facilities to keep up. We were behind.
We were filling our ponds.
Ponds were literally almost to the top. So
sludge is up. Okay.
Yeah. So what's going to take place is the first one is really needed now, and that they're going to be rotated throughout the next. Will be used regularly.
Bill, prior to you coming on the board, in fact, it was a while prior to you coming on the board, the board had to make a decision on that because we knew that was filling up. So it was either we make arrangements to have it trucked out or to get off the Schneid and get those drying sheds put in place so we could start to keep up. And it was really getting to that point. And we looked at the cost evaluation of what it would cost to truck it out. Did we ever do that?
Yeah, it was like $500,000 a year just to truck.
We had to do that in the past and realized that this was something that was going to be repetitive, so we needed to take action.
No, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, no, I'm just giving you a little bit of background on what the options were, and it was trucking it out.
I didn't realize that we were at the one greenhouse still doesn't keep up with what they're generating. It, so okay,
three of them will. The fourth one will eventually.
A little bit of review.
Have any questions? Comments? District Legal.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. Tonight I've been asked just to report on the relationship of the board and its communications with the public. First of all, you all have your First Amendment rights. The issue that we're dealing with here is when you communicate with the public, how do you do so when you're dealing with board and district related issues? The first place that you always look when you're looking for any type of policies on what you can and you cannot do with board members is you look to your own policies. I look to your bylaws. Your bylaws do not directly address this issue, so I went to your board policies, which do address the issue. There are two instances in which you would be communicating with the public regarding district business. One, when you are speaking strictly on your own opinions or comments. The other is when you are representing the district and speaking on behalf of the board. So let's start with the first. Board Policy Section 3A, Subsection 11 provides the following. Single board members will not represent the whole board in other open or closed meetings without prior sanction by the majority direction of the board. So for instance, the committee selections you have just done, if you are the representative to the school district, when you would go, you need to make certain that you are not representing your opinions as a representative of the board, okay? The second policy is in Section 3B, and it specifically has prohibitions against the board in certain instances. There are two that are applicable. No board member shall A, represent his or her position as that of the board unless the board has acted upon that position, or issue any writings or statements to the press or the public without clearly distinguishing which statements are his or her own and which are established board positions. So if you're talking to the press as an example and you say, well, you know, I'm opposed to this, well, you've made it clear that that is your opinion. However, you should not say the district is opposed to this unless the district has either A, authorized you to do that, or has voted to oppose that position, and thus it has taken a position as a matter of record. Finally, the issue is who speaks for the board. your bylaws provide that the president is the spokesperson of the board of directors, okay? But that is not a blank check. Those authorities that are given to the president are also limited by the provisions I just read to you from your board policy. So when would the board speak on behalf of the district? One, if you expressly designate him or her to go, we hereby authorize the president to send a letter to X, Y, and Z stating this. The other is when it would be implied, as an example. An example, somebody makes a motion that the board send a letter to so-and-so saying X, Y, and Z. Well, that motion didn't designate who, so under your bylaws, that would fall to the president because that would be the official spokesperson. So, in essence, what you're limited to is this. You talk about district business and you're offering your opinion, you need to make it clear it's your opinion and that you're not speaking for the board. And if you are speaking for the board, you need to make certain you've been authorized. And if you're speaking on action that the district has taken, as long as it's been taken at a meeting and you voted 5-0 or 3-2, it's okay to make those references as that's the direction that the board has decided to go. I'd be happy to answer any questions that any of you may have.
Any questions?
Well, clarification. So sending out a letter on district letterhead, if say I was to do that as an example, ask the city manager or town manager to do that, I couldn't do that.
No.
If you were representing to somebody in a letter that A, the district has taken this position, if you're using district letterhead, you are implying to the reader that this is official district position.
Correct. And that's my point. You can't do that as an individual unless this board has authorized either the president or someone else to direct a letter.
It would be the president sending a letter.
Correct.
Yeah, you would need to look to see where authority was provided. It could be in your policies, but I've just gone through those. You can change those, or you could make a specific act, which in the past you have done from time to time, authorizing the president to sign this or to do that.
Well, I think we had a violation of that a while back. I was a little taken back, Kevin, when you wrote a letter to the farmers market thing. We didn't have that discussion.
I have to see the letter to know what you're referring to, and I guess I would ask whether this is an agendized item and what's the point?
Well, clarification.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. I'd have to see the letter.
Each situation obviously would rest on its own particular facts and circumstances. So.
You mean you don't remember sending a letter to the farm asking the farmers market guys to think about Discovery Bay?
Oh, I remember. Yeah, as the community center committee, the committee had made a decision to look into the farmers market. So yes, we sent an inquiry letter to a farmers market asking them what the process was for having a farmers market in Discovery Bay. I guess is that what you're referring to?
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did that.
I think that's legal.
Now is that.
I have not involved myself in all the facts, so I'm not at a point now where I
just want to be clear for the future.
I think that was not a letter of authority, that was a letter of inquiry.
I didn't state any board policy. I didn't state it was a letter from the board. It was an inquiry as to what the process was for getting something done here in the town. So you're suggesting I should have done my own letterhead?
No. You could have. But what I'm suggesting is on something like that, I would like to see the board discuss these things. I don't feel it's appropriate for one of us to,
I don't know if we should have any discussion.
It's
a moot point because exactly what I thought might happen is they sent back and said it's too late for you to be involved. So why should the board be involved in a decision that doesn't exist?
Well,
the committee has been tasked with looking at options for the community center and bringing those options to the board. That's not an option.
Well, no, I'm not worried about the option. I'm talking about the procedure, which is what our legal counsel is trying to outline for us.
Well, the fine line here would have been had the farmers market written back and said, yes, it's available, then it would have come to the board. Is the board interested in doing this? We have done this before. We're interested in possibly bringing a service to this town, and we have let the committee that was handling that send an inquiry out. In this case, I don't see anything wrong with it, because again, had they said, yes, we will come to Discovery Bay, the
then we would have brought, yeah.
Would have said, we have a presentation.
We don't have a decision-making authority.
I understand that. I'm just trying to get clarification. If that's the way committees can send out letters without the board discussing it, I don't know.
As I'm understanding, listening to this, you said the committee had requested that a letter or something be forwarded in order to see if they would be interested. So you were information gathering.
Right.
And the committee authorized that.
It was discussed in committee.
So you were just gathering information.
I'm just asking whether it was a possibility or not. I believe. Again, I don't recall the verbiage of the letter, because I think actually staff wrote it for me, and I don't remember. So, but that was the intent, that we would just find out whether or not it was feasible. This went back to like last February. So.
Again, you will always look and refer to your policies that you have adopted in your bylaws.
I didn't hear that particular committee thing in our bylaws.
The bylaws have a provision in, pardon me one second. It's in your board policy, I apologize. Your board policy in section D, responsibilities of committee chairperson. There are several items just looking at this. Number two, plan and schedule necessary activities and obtain commitments for the necessary resources to complete the assignment. I don't know if that would be applicable. Provide overall leadership of the committee. I don't know if that would be applicable. So again, without more information, I'm hesitant to say.
Well, maybe you could clarify it at our next meeting or something, just so that we all know. If we're on a committee, we don't have to have board approval if you, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
That's the board's wish.
I'd be more comfortable just knowing kind of where we are. I understand it's been past procedure.
If Rick, if you have the letter, let Dale have the letter when you have a chance. I'm thinking from my point of view, I don't think anything wrong, because all you do is asking and inquire about possibly bringing a service to the town. Meanwhile, let's move on. Okay. Committee updates. Dan, were you done?
Yes, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Committee updates? Any committee updates? Correspondence?
There's communities. Approved minutes of community center.
There's no written report.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the community center.
Okay.
And it's on our agenda.
Point of order, the minutes from the June 26th meeting are on the agenda.
Right. Community center status report.
I apologize. I did not see that.
So, I'm a little bit as needing input. I attended a community center committee meeting in the audience, and I was informed that I could not speak at that meeting, at any community center meeting, because I naturally wasn't on the committee. And being I was the third person board member, I couldn't comment or ask questions of or during that, or any meeting, which, fine, it's the Brown Act, and that's the way it was explained to me. Well, this last meeting, I went to it, and this is nothing to do with Mary Ann, she just happened to be on the committee, and now she's a board member, and I was informed that legal counsel said, well, it's okay, you could have three board members on a committee meeting, on a committee. So I'm totally confused as to why you can have three board members on a committee, which makes a majority, which I thought violated the Brown Act, and yet if you have a third member in the audience, that third member in the audience can't say anything. So I don't know where we're, why is that?
That's not uncommon. First of all, don't shoot the messenger. I didn't write the Brown Act, and if somebody would have asked me, I think I would have written it just a little bit more practically minded.
There's lots of stuff in it.
First of all, the Brown Act does not prohibit board committees made up of a majority of board members. Okay? The issue is if you are not a member of a committee and you're a board member and your presence would constitute a majority of the board, then under the Brown Act, it specifically says that board member who is not a committee member can only observe.
Well,
let me read the language. Okay, this is exemptions from exemption of meetings where a majority are present. The attendance of a majority of members of the legislative body at an open and noticed meeting of a standing committee of that body, provided that members of the legislative body who are not members of the standing committee attend only as observers. So if you have three board members who are on the committee, and then a fourth one comes, three of them who are on the committee can participate, the fourth person cannot.
Or likewise, okay, there's two on the committee, and a member comes. It doesn't really matter how many are on the committee. What matters is whether or not the person that attends is a board member and not on that committee.
The key is where there's a majority of the board in the room. Then the next question is who's on the committee? And those who are not, Brown Act says you can only observe.
But how could you have three board members who are majority be on a committee?
The Brown Act doesn't prohibit that. I told you, don't shoot the messenger. I didn't write for it.
That is the. So could you have four board members on a committee?
Technically, yes.
But there'd be no point in having a committee.
Right. Therefore, brings me to the point. I believe that on this community center committee, it's probably one of the most, from a financial standpoint, looking into the future, one of the most complex issues that this board is going to deal with during the next year or two, on into the future. Water, wastewater, certainly, that's our main charge. We've got a lot, there's big dollars involved there, but those are planned, and those are maintenance, etc. I would like to propose that we eliminate the standing community center committee and have this board have and schedule study sessions so that we can discuss these items about community center in the public. We can all then express our ideas, our thoughts, whatever. Now we can all understand where each of us are coming from, and then when we get back to a formal meeting, we can take action, discuss, do whatever. But the way is this is set up right now, it's dysfunctional.
May I make a comment? First of all, I'll point out this is the third time that Director Peace has made this request. It's repetitive. The board has made the subcommittee. I don't feel it's fair for him to tell the committee, as the chair of the committee, that we're a dysfunctional committee. I don't believe we are. I think we work very synergistic with each other. There's nothing dysfunctional about the way we operate. So I take a little bit of offense to that. And it serves a purpose in that, again, there are these, it's very complicated. And so there's these small, the committee makes no decisions. It just makes recommendations. There's a lot of recommendations that have come to the committee that the committee has said, you know, that's just not going to work. There's just either, it's not feasible, it's not possible, i.e. the farmer's market at this time, these types of things. And I would tend to agree that at some point in time, when, you know, there's some new, well, anyway, that's all I got to say.
The reason I'm bringing this up is we're talking about spending $1 million to $3 million fixing up this community center thing. We haven't talked about the budget as far as not the construction so much, the ongoing maintenance and the ongoing ability to fund this facility if and when it was built, all of those things. And I think this board needs to be intimately involved in those discussions prior to committing to go out and get architectural reviews and talk about this and talk about that. We've got a building over there that's closed right now. We've got a pool that's sitting there that's kids are in school, and we're paying for lifeguards and everything else during the day at 11 o'clock in the morning. I mean, these are examples of things that I think we can discuss as a body. I would like to propose a motion that we disband the community center committee and form on a regular basis, and these could happen either before a meeting, on our scheduled meeting or whatever, study sessions revolving around the community center so that we can move expeditiously through this process. To sit and have the community center committee, I'm not saying you're not doing a good job, that's not the point at all. If we're going to try to speed this process up, all five of us need in staff need to be in this discussion to get our ideas, to get our concepts, to ask the questions, and not have to repeat them after the committee has gone through and did some work. But I think it's just a better way to expedite through the process. I think it's extremely important, and we're talking about a lot of dollars and a commitment for a long time.
Okay, let me, before we go any further, this is going to need to be an agenda item. This is not on the agenda tonight to disband the committee.
Let me ask legal counsel.
Okay. Yeah, I respectfully disagree. The item is under committee updates, discussion, possible action, community center status report.
And that, that's pretty broad. We can discuss this disbanding that committee?
I think that would go on its status.
Yeah.
I would recommend, since you do have other committee members on it, that if you were to take that action, you may want to agendize it for your next meeting so they have a chance to come and talk.
Rick?
If I may make a suggestion. The committee has been working recently on a number of items that are critical that would eventually result in a recommendation to the board. I think that it might be appropriate to continue to include the committee through that process, and then if the, and I'm thinking like we did once before, we had a joint meeting of the board and the committee, and I'm speaking just, this is just a suggestion, I haven't spoken to any of the committee members about this, but I think that the committee should continue at least into the short-term future to finish up and wrap up the challenges that they've had, and if that requires it to be a joint meeting of the board, then so be it. So that would be my comment.
Yeah, and I have no problem including public members that have spent their time and effort also. I don't want to exclude them. And to have a joint meeting with those members, community members present, would be fine. But I feel that we've got three of these board members sitting up here. I can't participate at all until it comes back if I'm sitting out here. I don't feel good about that at all. So I would like to propose that we have joint meetings on a community center where all of us can participate. If we can all make a meeting, fine. If we can't make a meeting, fine. We're not going to make a final decision until a board meeting, but I think the communication would work much better, and we've got some big issues that needs to be discussed specifically around financing, not so much the operations and the classes and all those kinds of things.
Council, it's my understanding that you can't just have an informal meeting. If you have the board there, it's a board meeting.
Well, your committee is also a standing committee, so under the Brown Act, did a joint meeting, they'd have to be noticed.
Sure, but what I'm saying is that if the community center committee was disbanded and we had whatever the format,
study session, study, work session, whatever,
it's still a board meeting if the board's there, correct?
Correct.
Well, okay, so I'm a little bit confused why you say another board meeting. It is a board meeting.
Well,
if the
difference between them is you're there specifically to discuss just the community center items. Unlike a regular board meeting, today we talked about raising rates and we talked about a number of things.
But you would still make, okay.
You don't necessarily have to make a vote at one of those meetings. You're just expressing ideas, asking staff to gather information so that when that item does come back to the regular agendized board, now we make an informed decision. And that's the difference. We have the ability, all of us have the ability to then participate in the discussions of what needs to be done into the future. We can ask questions about finances, all those things, get staff input. I think it just works much, much better in this particular case because this is such a crucial and important item in the community. And we're going to set a precedent. This is what decisions this board makes. We're going to live with this thing for the next 25 to 30 years. And I think there's a better way to reach the decisions that this board needs to reach. And I think all of us need to be in the room at the same time talking about these. And I have no problem with having the current committee members there with us. So I would like to, I make a motion to have a joint meeting of the community center committee. All meetings be in this joint function so that all of us can come and attend.
the area in here that I do agree with Director Pease completely is I really feel like I think the board's done a great job, the committee's done a great job as far as putting this together. But I feel that this board, and I mean the entire board, is completely in the dark to what we've spent, what we're spending, what it's costing us. We're looking at this point of jumping up and building a building. Our original conversation was that we would acquire land at one point, because this is going to need to be a ballot measure. This is going to need it. The public's going to have to pay for this. We cannot fund it. We don't have any way to service this debt. And we're now talking about getting a contractor in. We've gone out and got an estimate to build a building, which I don't believe we can meet that estimate. But nevertheless, we're moving in leaps and bounds. We've opened up a pool. I agree with Bill on that also. There's nobody using that pool during the day. I drive by it all day long. And there's a couple of cars parked there. We're paying lifeguards. We've got staff. We've got somebody sitting there. I'm watching landscapers. I'm watching our town truck sitting out there. I don't have a clue what we're spending over there. There's never been accounting to this board. Wow. And you can't blame that on a community center committee. That's not their job. They brought the, my point is, I don't, if you ask me what we're spending or what we've done with the community center other than acquire the land, I can't tell you because we don't know.
With respect to the pool hours, you may or not recall, I had originally recommended to the board that there were school hour days and there were school days and non-school days that we would be open to the public. And I'd recommend that on school days, when schools in session were open from 3 to 7, it was this board's decision to maintain those hours 11 to 7. So we do recommend, and we are going to be coming back, and we'll probably be cutting those hours back significantly here in the near future to ratchet that back a little bit. But we have some classes that we're working on right now bringing in, which could still operate they can't operate in a public swim setting to begin with. So we are working on that. So we are aware of the hours. With respect to the landscaping issues, we knew we had the landscaping. That's why we hired one of the new employees and he's specifically responsible for that. So that's probably why you're seeing it's about 75% of his roles.
I'm seeing 75%. Multiple trucks. I'm seeing multiple people constantly out there. I mean, I'm in Discovery Bay all day, every day. I'm in and out, and I watch it.
One of the things we're doing, though, Director Simon, President Simon, is we're using the big roll-off bin over there as a location to get, right now, for example, they're trimming palm trees throughout town, and they're taking the palm tree trimmings, and they're taking them over there and putting them in the roll-off bin. So what you might be seeing is, and they're over there doing a lot of that work. They're using that location as a central point so as to not have to go back to the back and forth all day long to the plants.
I know that, Rick. I'm not dumb. But I also sat here and I listened to Farron tell us right there at the podium that she's not really being charged. She's supposed to be being charged when we don't know where she's being charged to. She said that it's in the minutes, not the last meeting we talked about the community center, and we were talking about who's being charged to what when she made her presentation. And she said, I am spending a lot of time over there. And to me, we hire specific employees for specific jobs because we don't have an overrun of employees. So when I see four employees over there working, I know they're not working on something else. And that's not the point. The point is, I don't have a clue what we're spending over there. I don't know what this community center's cost us. I don't know whether we're losing money, making money, or breaking even. I don't know what the final bill of the pool was. We don't know anything. And we're looking at building a building, which we can't afford. And I think I understand where Bill's coming from in this case. And hold on, you can say what you want when I'm done. I understand where Bill's coming from. As a businessman, I could never run my business this way, right? Just guess what the bills are going to be at the end of the month, or guess what I'm losing or winning. We have never had accounting for this building. And now we're looking at taking huge steps forward. And we're not prepared to take a step forward here. We're not prepared to build anything there. And now we're out, we got an estimate for building a building. Who's paying for it? Who's going to run it? What's it going to cost? What's staffing going to cost? Don't know.
That's part of the role of the Community Center Committee that you want to abolish.
But you guys are getting ready to...
No, we're not getting ready to
hold
do
on,
anything.
Hold on.
Don't make... You know, you got to fight a fair fight if you're going to fight
I
a
am
fight.
Fighting
no,
fight.
You're not. Because you're making statements that aren't true.
Did you guys not bring us an estimate for $500,000?
No, you said you're getting ready to build a building. Nobody's getting ready to build a building. That's not a correct statement.
Okay, let me rephrase that.
Back to the pool situation. This board, which you're on, knew exactly what hours the pools were going to be open and agreed to pay for the thing. So to stand there and say, I don't know what it costs, is not a fair fight.
I don't
you
know,
knew.
But I have not
you
seen
voted
it.
For it. Yeah, if you don't know, that's your
let
fault.
Let me answer the question you're saying you're making. Show me a statement. Tell me what we spent.
Well, ask for it.
I'm asking, but we should have got
okay.
it.
So, we have to ask staff. I come in here and I sit in Rick's office. If I want information, I ask him for it and he gives it to me.
The board should have it. The whole board should have it. We should know exactly what it costs to run that community center.
Well, that's going to be a huge packet. If everything
well,
that they spend,
it's
that
a
they should.
Statement.
We never asked for that.
Then
I agree with you. If you've asked for it and haven't gotten it, then I...
Numerous times. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Rick.
Dina's been working on a summary of the expenses from the day we bought the facility until today. Okay, it's on a big, huge spreadsheet. I was ready to email it to all of you today. In doing some last minute reviews before I hit the send button, there were some questions in my mind that I needed to get resolved, and so I did not hit the send button. But you were all going to receive that today. Dina's been working on it over the past week. And when I got back, we reviewed it on Monday and a little bit yesterday, and I was going to send it out today, like I said, but there were a couple last-minute issues that I had questions with, and so I held it back. It covers every expense we've had from the beginning of the time we opened, the time we bought the facility, through today.
Is it a profit loss statement?
No, it's not a profit loss statement. That's my whole point. All I'm asking for is
We have the revenues, we have the expenditures, we have the capital improvements, we have everything.
I want to know what I don't think I'm being out of line when I'm speaking with these people's money sitting here. I'm asking, what are we spending in the community center? Are we losing money every month? Are we making money every month? What is it costing us? What's it cost to get the pool? What's it cost for all the employees you keep telling me are free, over there? They're not free. They're being charged for something. Farron's being charged for something. Those trucks they're using are being charged for something. And as somebody, and I hate to keep saying this, as somebody who's owned a business my whole life, I couldn't run my business this way.
The breakdown of costs includes everything you just mentioned.
Let me ask this question. Are there two other board members who are in agreement with me that they feel that it would be much easier on this particular subject to have the entire board involved in these discussions about the community center?
I do. I'd like to be involved in this. I'd like to know what we're doing.
I see a nod over here.
We need to develop our business plan, our operating statement, our foundation, a sustainability plan. We need to get that, and the committee's been working on the different pieces towards that, but there'll be some efficiencies if we have some workshops or have those joint meetings. Study sessions are okay.
Whatever you want to call them, but I think we can move the process faster if all five of us are involved in it. And I certainly don't feel comfortable having three board members involved in it, and I can't say a word. I'm not comfortable with that at all, but if we have the board and the other community members here and we can discuss it and do all the things that need to be done, I'll be much more comfortable.
I'm not in favor of disbanding the Community Center Committee. I think that should be a long-term standing committee. I'm open with of having workshops for this Community Center Committee in the short term, and some of these issues, we need to now... Sooner than later, we need to delve into the details on the financial.
So, well, we've got to do the financial before we do all the other stuff.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm reading the tea leaves. I see four heads that are nodding that we want to do that. So, do we need a motion to make study
sessions?
The
Community Center Committee is still working on our next scheduled meeting right now. And I think Chair Graves is going to set that meeting here shortly.
Well, I've got a proposal. Why don't we have the community center study session meeting prior to our meetings here? What's wrong with that? Why have a special meeting? We could come in here at 6 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock, twice a month.
For 1 hour?
Whatever it takes. If it's gonna go, if it needs to go a little longer, it goes a little longer. And we start our meeting. I don't know how long the meeting's gonna take if we have it. We've got specific items to discuss.
How long does this committee meet?
About twice a month.
Yeah, that's right. So twice a month. Same as what we're doing in this board.
That's a pretty reasonable bite of the apple, right?
And so it's an hour, hour and a half? Okay, fine.
It's more than that.
Well, does it have to be more than that? That's the question.
All right, let's putting two agendas out on a Friday afternoon, putting this board agenda out on a Friday afternoon is a massive effort that staff puts in. It's to put out two agendas on the front.
Well, the other agenda is a one-item agenda, right?
It's a one-item agenda.
There's agenda reports that go with it, there's backup, there's reports that are given, we write agenda reports, we do presentations, we have information.
But don't you give that to the committee? Don't the committee send it to you?
Yeah, because generally on the same day.
Generally on an off-cycle.
We typically do it on a Monday between the other two meetings.
Okay, so you could do the same thing, then just put it in with our packet, you don't have to print it that day. If you know what you're gonna give the community center committee, you could do the same thing with the whole board.
Okay, anyway, I hear no motion, I just hear a bunch of talk, so I'm just waiting for something to happen, because we're just sitting here talking about the same thing over and over again, wasting everybody's time.
Point of order, the item under the agenda is community center status report. I do not believe that you provided enough notice that you're gonna dissolve a standing committee, so I would recommend if you're going to do that, you would need to agendize it, if I may. Director Pease had moved for a joint meeting, I see no problem with that under this item.
And that's where I'm at, a joint meeting which could have the other committee members here is fine.
And I, as the chairman of the community cement committee, I absolutely agree with that 100%, and when we're ready to have a joint committee, then we will definitely, like we did last time, schedule one with the board.
There's the whole point, that's the exact point. You have a committee meeting, I can't participate in it at all.
That's really the issue.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, I'm a board member, I'm elected just like you are, and I can't participate in it.
It's a subcommittee.
It's a big decision going on here.
We don't make any decisions.
The decision to get to the final decision, there's discussions taking place at a committee meeting that I can't be involved in. And to me, this is one of the biggest financial situations that this board and that this town is gonna go through for the next 25 years, and I've elected to be present and accountable for those dollars and cents.
There are no decisions made at the community center committee meeting. We have no authority to make decisions.
Then why are we having a meeting?
To discuss options and bring recommendations to the board. That's what it said.
So why isn't the board involved in discussing those and bringing, and then we all are on the same page at the same time?
The board saw fit to develop a committee, that's all I can tell you.
Why we're having a discussion right now, to see if we can't do it in a different way, to make sure that it's a more expedited fashion and is more, it flows a little better, and everybody on this board is in the same room, talking about the same thing at the same time.
So I'm gonna make a motion that the committee chair will notice the board for our next joint meeting.
Well, I'm not talking about one meeting.
I'm not gonna schedule one right now.
We can't schedule one right now anyway. But I'm not talking about just pacifying this board and say, oh, we'll bring you to a meeting once. No, we need to have it ongoing.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
This is a new person, not knowing, I may be asking a dumb question. But you've got all of these subcommittee committees. So wouldn't the same thing apply to all of them? Like if I came to a meeting and they were ready, I wouldn't be able to speak either? Or is that just this committee that this pertains to?
I'll let counsel answer that.
You can't go to those.
Well, that's what I just said. Yeah. I can't go to those.
You can't even go to those.
So yeah. I can't even
you
go
can
to
go.
Those.
Right. You can go, you
but
just
I
have
can't
to observe.
Speak.
Right.
Right, so isn't this the same thing that we're talking about?
As I had commented at the beginning of this particular item, the board's subcommittee appointments, those are not committees of the board. Those are committees that the general manager has created. He's asked for representative. In that situation, three of you cannot be there, okay? The rule that I was talking about is in regards to your standing committees. That's where you're required to comply with the notice requirements.
Right.
And that if there is a majority of board members who are at a standing committee, those board members who are not committee members can only observe.
Okay, so this is a subcommittee?
What's the community center something? Like the budget committee, it's a public meeting. It's an open meeting. Anybody can come to that.
I can't speak in it.
You can't speak at it.
It's the same thing for me. I come to a budget committee meeting, and then so I guess what Director Pease is saying is he doesn't want any standing committees.
No, that's not the point, Kevin. The point, Kevin, this is the Graves show here. You don't.
No, why is it so personal, Bill?
Because you're making it personal. The issue is the community center decisions that are going to be made for this town of Discovery Bay are massive, and they inflict the financial efforts of this body forever. The budget committee, this committee, the wastewater committee, totally different. Totally different. We're taking on a project now that is a little beyond what we're charged with. We're charged with water and wastewater, parks and recreation. And now we're talking about a community center. And we're going to try and spend money, develop this, do that, which is totally different. We haven't identified a revenue source for ongoing maintenance of this building, if it's ever converted, any of that. That's why I'm so adamant that it's just this one committee that all of us need to be involved in every single time there's discussion about it, so that we can make an informed decision instead of having three people in it and then the other two, oh man, I gotta ask these questions. It's just in my words, dysfunctional doing it that way. And that's why I would like to see us have scheduled work session, study session, whatever, revolving around the community center.
I just wanted clarification. On the bottom of the list where the board subcommittee appointments are, if you recall, I've come to the board a number of times and asked for board members to be part of different committees. We did that with the budget subcommittee, and the budget subcommittee was two board members, but yet it was expanded during the budgetary process to include three members and the public at large, and you sat on that, you're familiar with that. Did the same thing with communications. We had a communications subcommittee we created, two board members, but yet we created a committee, and then when the committee finished their work, the three public members disbanded their efforts. The community center committee, similarly, has two board members that sit on the community center subcommittee. And those are the two board members that I deal with in talking ideas, bouncing suggestions off of, that help me and my staff to be able to formulate recommendations, no different than the water and wastewater subcommittee or any of the other ones. I just want to find out if you are suggesting that we eliminate that community center subcommittee as part of this.
Well, Ned, you moved into a different realm, but let me clarify that the reason that we have the subcommittees, whether it be budgetary at the budget time, which makes sense because there's only a certain time of the year that we discuss the budget, or whether it be communications when we were in the process of revamping our website and trying to get communication out to the public more so there would be recommendations to the public. The same thing with the community center. It was to engage the public in the committee, to get the public's input as to what their ideas were, to try to engage the public. That's why there's public members on the committee. If we don't want to engage the public as part of the committee anymore, that's fine, but that was why it was done that way. But it wasn't done that way to exclude anybody. It was done that way to include the public.
Okay, let me, if I may. The point you just made, Rick, is excellent. We did that. In fact, it was my idea. We started the budget committee. We brought people from the residents in. And I agree that when it's time, when the work was done and we moved on. I think we're at that point with the community center committee. We've acquired the land. We've fixed the pool. We fixed the tennis courts. We've now got an idea of what we think we want to do. And I think at this point, this is why I do it real bill. We're looking to spend a hell of a lot of money. We're looking at finding a revenue source. We're looking at finding a way to get the taxpayers and the ratepayers to pay for this. And I think at this point, I do agree with Bill. The Community Center Committee has done what they were tasked to do. They got us the land. They did a great job. I think at this point, it should become a board function. That's just my feeling. I mean, I want to be involved in this. So that's my feeling. I know where the two no votes are going to come from, but I'm telling you, I just feel that we should be involved in this. We're talking a lot of money here. And we're talking about money that's going to go on over year after year after year.
I don't understand why you think you're not going to make those decisions. That's just what I'm about.
I think that you can do it a lot smoother with five people. I think if five, an input, the idea of the committee, again, of the community center committee, was to get us to a point of getting the land, getting us functional. And they did that.
I don't agree with that.
Well, you guys acquired the land. You got, I mean, the next phase
and
is
programs and.
But that comes, we got to develop the building. I mean, the next phase is going to be either develop the building or find a way to pay for it. Or
programs are done.
Or not move forward. You can't put programs into a closed, wrecked building. So at this point, we're looking at spending an awful lot of money. And this is just my opinion. There's five opinions here. So to me, I do agree. I'd like to see this whole board. So when the people that voted for us say, what are you doing with our money? It was a board decision. This is what we're doing.
It's going to be.
Well, no.
It's always going to be.
I know it is, but I think we
can't spend any money.
I know you can't, but.
So you keep going back to that statement, but it's invalid.
Why have two discussions?
That's the point.
To engage the public.
We don't need to engage the public.
Okay, there you go. There's your elected official, folks. You have it on record. He doesn't want to engage the public.
No, the public voted for us to make decisions on their behalf. That's what it's all about, and that's where we're at, is talking about spending money.
I understand it now.
I have a motion. Let's make a motion. If we don't, at this point, you cannot make a motion? Yeah, you can.
There is a motion to hold a joint meeting. If part of the discussion has been to dissolve a committee, that is not on the agenda. If that's what you want to do, my recommendation is that you agendize it for your next meeting, so the public knows that.
Okay, this needs to be agendized, because at this point, you can't, they're not looking to schedule a meeting, and you can't have two committees. I mean, you can't have the board doing it, have a committee doing it.
I would agree, and it's not really a status update at this point. It's changing the status.
I got one more comment still, because I think that this is a community center, and I think it's good to have community at large a part of this process, and I still think that the community center committee is very important to have those citizens at large on that committee. And so the idea of disbanding the community center committee is, I think that's not the right approach. I think that these joint workshops are a great way to do that, and then we make that motion. Staff gets this paperwork together, we bring it to the board. I get it if it's parallel or it happens before, and simultaneously, but I still think that we need to have some seats. I know we're all elected here, but I think we need to have a couple more seats open for the public at large, and I
don't have a problem with that at all. I don't have a problem with that at all. I just want to make sure that all five board members have the opportunity to be at every single community center meeting, so that all of us can be updated. And therefore, when it comes to the board as an official item, we're pretty well up to speed, because we've had a chance to give our input. That's what I would like to see.
If we do this and make this a study session or a special meeting, can the public come to those meetings?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you could have all the input you wanted from the public at that point.
Right, but it would be in place of the standing committee, because you can't have five board. Well, I guess you could.
Yes,
but
you can.
Could you then make it a seven-person committee?
With five board members and two members of the community whose role is advisory.
No.
I don't see a problem with it practically.
Doesn't make sense.
It's unique.
But I think the reason I'm asking is because Chris's point was, if we don't have the community center committee, it becomes a five-man committee, we would be cutting out the public. But if the meetings are open, the public can certainly come and comment, can they not?
Any meeting of at least a quorum of you requires that it be an open public meeting.
So you could have 100 members of the public show up rather than just two. If you have input from a lot of members of the public, or two, they could all show up and they could all speak.
Correct.
Yes, if I may, Mr. President, from listening to the discussion that you've been having, it seems like the crux of the issue is whether to continue the committee as it currently exists or not. And that is really not an item on the agenda, so I would recommend you, if that's your desire, you agendize it for the next meeting so the public is aware that that is the decision
Let's do that and move on.
Well, can we have the next community center meeting be a joint meeting?
So it's up to the community center committee, I think.
That would go back to the motion that you had made, though you'd just be making it more specific that the next meeting.
The board makes that.
Change your motion to that specific meeting, and we'll put this on the other agenda.
That's so changed.
So I'm confused. I don't know what the motion is.
You have regular meeting dates?
No. We haven't scheduled the next meeting date yet, because the staff wasn't at, Rick wasn't at the previous meeting, so we didn't schedule it until we knew what his schedule was.
So
we don't have a set meeting, but we surely intend to, because we have ongoing things to discuss that we've already been discussing over the last 3 months.
Then the motion would have to be to direct staff to find a date where a majority of the committee and the majority of the board could be present for a joint meeting.
Okay, so moved.
Is there a second?
I think I'm too new to make that decision.
You're going
to
be involved.
I know, and I would just say that we need to consider the staff's volume of getting our regular meetings lined up. I'm not here to bury the staff every other Wednesday or whatever. That's not going to work for us to make things happen. And so, yeah, those are other things.
However the staff feels they can accommodate
balance,
what that's fine with me.
But that's also not what the motion is. The motion, Chris, is that your next community center meeting can it be a session so that joint meeting so that the members can come. That's the motion.
Oh, I haven't.
You're already going to have the meeting. So what you're saying is you don't want the rest of the members there. I'm just trying to get past the end of this so we can move on like grown-ups.
There's a motion. There's too many questions going on here. There's a motion on the floor. Is there, as the president, you should be directing this process.
I thought I was directing it, but we keep going in 42 different directions. So, there is a motion. I will second the motion.
Okay.
That makes
there you
right.
go.
Okay. And Marianne, you do need to be involved. You are a best.
Oh, I know.
This is important.
She can, again, if you want right. to direct the motion, let me speak.
Okay, go ahead.
You can certainly do whatever you want to do, but I mean, sometimes you can make a decision other people don't like on the board, but you have to make a decision. That's why you're here.
If I may, you do have the ability to abstain from
exactly.
non-vote.
So, exactly. So, I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's okay. So, if there's no other discussion, then I will call for the vote. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay. No.
Abstained?
Abstained.
Okay, let's move on. Public records requests, none. Future agenda items. Probably no point in putting this on a future agenda item, but we'll do it anyway. Rick, put it on there.
Absolutely.
Already written down.
Thank you. And with that, we're adjourned.
All right.